Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library.
I must say, madam, I'm constantly amazed at your tenacious determination to serve those around you. Your willingness to please knows no bounds.
Darling, this hungry crowd has been with us for so long by now. I feel we owe them whatever will make them happy.
What is it they want most, do you suppose?
Well, they want the guests. Of course, darling.
Of course. Of course, of course.
Oh my, these storms lately. You're all so damp. Please do wipe your feet thoroughly before entering the reading room. That's what these lesser carpets in the hallway are for. Mr. Darling, please take Mr. Daniel by the shoulder. His shoes are making pressing puddles. That's it. There we are. We've reversed the ceiling fans in the cloakrooms to draw the moisture out of your clothing. See how clever we are? If ever you are fortunate enough to be an overnight guest here, you must believe me, we take excellent care of you, no matter what you've heard in the village. Yes, 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 please go in. There we are. Well, I'll ask you to make a pass by the hospitality tray, as our Natasha has set out some moderately comforting treats of lukewarm mystery tea, some secret biscuits she's made for the occasion of our reading. She's put a little card by them and labeled them Natasha's Forbidden Biscuits. So I don't know what happens when you dunk them in your lukewarm mystery tea. But then all of life is a gamble, is it not? Just getting up in the morning is taking a risk. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what sort of person you're pretending to be today. Right? Welcome, my dear, dear guest, to the Midnight Library. I am so very pleased to be your haunting host, Miranda Merrick. Thank you so much for being here. I feel that I don't make it clear enough, often enough, no matter who you are or where you are from. I love you, and you are most welcome to be here, again, no matter what you may have heard in the village. And if you ever were to stay here, Your movements still would be severely restricted, of course. Stefan Strangeways found this out the hard way when he wrongly assumed that he could just wander down to the kitchens below for a late-night snack, and he nearly became one himself. I believe a stray mountain lion came in through the servant's entrance and nipped him on his bottom. He's fine. Oh, he's fine. But no, not just anyone can go just anywhere all around the Midnight Library, as many parts of it are forbidden. Oh, I see. Humans don't seem to like that word. Forbidden. I look around the room. Even now, I see your eyes narrow, your pupils shrink, and your lips purse, and your teeth draw down. Ooh, if you had feathers, they'd go all ruffly. You do not like to be told no, do you? No wonder there are more fingers in the little dish this week. And yet another note from goon number 22. Well, lucky for you, our story tonight is all about a forbidden island that you have little hope of ever setting foot onto. And chances are, after my telling of it, well, you probably wouldn't want to travel to it anyway. Let us just see, shall we? The lush island of Poveglia floats in a sunny Venetian lagoon off the scenic coast of Italy. When do we depart, I hear you ask? We don't, I politely answer, because Poveglia is off limits to all visitors and has been since after 1968 by order of the Italian government. There have been a few dogged scientists, researchers, and pesky ghost hunters over the years, but even these are far and few between, as the process of filling out the lengthy forms alone has been made such a daunting task and tangled on purpose so as to continue to keep all literally at bay. But why, Ms. Merrick? Why can't we visit the charming island of Poveglia that we can see, glistening in the mist on the most pleasant summer days? It's only a short pleasure boat ride away. There's the bell tower and the grapevines and butterflies. We could wear sundresses and bring sandwiches and iced tea. We could bring books and blankets and while away the hours reading on the banks, listening to the singing birds and enjoying the wildflowers and napping in the afternoon sun on the pretty little island all by ourselves. Why can't we? Why? Well, my lovelies, the serene island of Poveglia has one of the most diseased, tormented, tortured, rotted, haunted, burnt, and continuously crumbling histories of any island in the world. It is so thoroughly permeated with a disgusting foulness everywhere, and so hazardous to visit, and so dangerous because of what has been left behind, and also perhaps because of a much deeper rumor of what is there, as the other name the island goes by is the Island of Ghosts, which I know might well sound at first attractive to some of you at first, because we know each other so well by now. Well, just you let me tell you. To begin with, the entire size of the island is only a mere 17 acres, which is actually split into two land masses by a little canal with a little bridge that's probably no longer safe to traverse. There's a third wee octagon that's part of the island's tip, giving the entire thing from overhead the appearance of an old moldy wedge of pizza. So quite attractive indeed. But it is the island's history that is the issue of contention, of course, and not its shape. Poveglia is mentioned in several books here in the Midnight Library. Natasha, I believe, procured a recipe from a cookbook, perhaps which was removed from the island. This could not be proven or disproven, but I can tell you that books containing maps of the island, oh my, maps of the diagrams of the different establishments, populations, and buildings that were definitely there or may still be there, and their titles are alarming to say the least. I have just one here to give you some understanding, to let you know what we're in for. This again is an overhead map, beginning at the tip of the small octagon with no structure upon it, and working backward as the island widens. The mostly rectangular buildings are labeled. First, there's housing. Good. Hospital. Great. Church. Okay. Insane asylum. Not surprised. Prison. Of course. Burning grounds. All right. I see. Oh, and a plague field. Okay, from an earlier date. Oh dear, I see. Okay. So much to unpack here. Let's have a brief opener. Poveglia Island is just one of 166 Phoenician lagoon islands, and was even used in the 5th century as an escape route by Romans running from the Goths. But its unique location made it popular for quarantining of plague victims during the outbreak of the Black Death, beginning in 1348. Then, over the coming centuries, the tiny island would become home to all manner of unbelievable atrocities. Records state that over, perhaps way over, 166,000 plague victims, mentally ill people as well as those who just happened to be less fortunate, lived, worked, and were kept on the island. And as we'll see, some apparently never left. Speaking of seeing, before our story gets too deep, my dear guests, let me tell you, I have seen what Stefan Strangeways has been up to. I forced my blood beneath his skin, thinking I will somehow win. But all I see, as from the start, he offers all his willing heart. I see him working in the night, quietly putting wrongs to right. I see him correcting our mistakes, those little missteps we all make. I see Stefan sand and paint. His hands, they move like blessing saints. I watch him from behind my eyes. He never steals and he never lies. His name Strangeways, like his behavior, like some warped version of a savior. making lies true after we've told them, buying our souls back after we've sold them. I have two messages from Stefan Strangeways. The first message is for Miss Nima. Stefan says he will be pleased to meet you under the full buck moon in July for a cemetery dance as per your request. And the second message is for Anonymous. Stefan says he believes you'll rest so much better once you realize none of these terrible things are your fault at all. So please go easy on yourself. For everyone else, Stefan Strangeways is available via Spirit Board. Although I can see him presently, braiding the mane of my horse, Shadowmare. In its first official ranking, Poveglia had a defensive purpose. Because of its position, it was perfect as an outpost for a fort in the 14th century, and served to keep Venice safe. The island even has ties to Napoleon, who banked his weapons there. But when the bubonic plague returned and tore across Europe, killing throngs of the population in the 1500s, there were several outbreaks over the centuries, suddenly Poveglia began to look like a fine place to quarantine the local victims. For those who may not know, the Black Death, or bubonic plague, that began in the 14th century is by far the worst, most devastating pandemic humanity has ever seen to date. It is now thought to have killed an estimated 75 to 200 million people worldwide over the roughly 400 years it was most active. It was spread by biting fleas that carried a certain bacteria, and it ravaged its poor victims with fevers, chills, weakness, bleeding from the mouth, nose, or from under the skin. The word bubonic comes from the sufferers forming buboes, swollen or infected lymph nodes. The horrid plague was referred to as the Black Death due to the flesh of the victims, mainly their extremities, their fingers, toes, and noses, going pitch black just before they died. With no reliable information to be had, quarantining was the absolute smartest thing to be done in the earlier centuries. In fact, Poveglia became a kind of port of inspection during these times. Before you were permitted to set foot into Venice, Italy, you were stopped and checked at Poveglia. If you didn't look well enough as you came through on board the ship you were currently on, you were kept on the island until you either died of the plague or proved you could stay alive by staying alive for 40 days with all of the other plague-infected people around you. And thousands of people never made it to Venice. Poveglia and several other islands functioned as what was called lazarettos, or quarantine stations. So, if you live long enough, you can leave. Congratulations. A little like the library. Now, this would have been the late 1600s and early 1700s. Thousands of plague sufferers were forced to live out their remaining days on the tiny patch of land. But where were they buried? I hear you ask. And that's a good question. Well, you see, from the very start of the plague in the 14th century, it came on so quickly and swept through Europe with such killing devastation, It wiped out 50% of the entire population. And all of these countries' people were in a panic. And no one knew what was causing the plague at the time. And the governments were no help, and everything was disorganized. Rumor, hearsay, folklore, and outright lies and suspicion were everywhere, making the panic worse over the years. And without much science or modern medicine to rescue them, even common sense went right out the window. But the one thing that did show results every time the Black Death came back to life was quarantining, keeping everyone who even looked a little green around the gills away from anyone else who didn't. And to this day, if you look up the question, what ended the Black Death? The simple answer is quarantining. To answer your question, my dear guest, the adjacent islands around Poveglia also served as quarantining stations with mass burial pits until they couldn't hold any more of the dead, and some of those were transported over to Poveglia, which did have one burial field or pit with countless bodies in it on the smaller wedge of the island. Then, for a time, people were dying at such a horrendous pace in the city of Venice that their dead were loaded onto barges and shipped out to Poveglia as well, and not to be buried, but to be burned by the tens of thousands on the tiny 17-acre island. The massive columns of smoke and ash were said to always be in the air. The island was now an open-air cemetery. On some maps, the entire rear portion of the island is labeled the burning grounds. The soil content of Poveglia Island is estimated to be comprised of 60% human ash and bone. So there are the old plague pits, and then the entire island where the human ash has settled. Why can't we go, Miss Merrick? Believe it or not, Poveglia remained a functioning plague station up until 1814. And that's right about when, for some reason, the story started and the new name for the island stuck. The Island of Ghosts. Please bear in mind that all of this happened on the island even before there was the official housing, the hospital, the church, the insane asylum, and the rumored prison. So, now, my dear guest, let me clarify, just so that we're all on the same page. Some of the former military facilities had been converted into a government-run hospital facility, and then these were shut down in the early 1800s, until someone had the idea. The idea that this island that was brimming with the ashes, bones, and teeth of literally thousands of plague victims would be the absolute spot-on, perfect, ideal location to build a mental institution for the poor members of society whom at the time no one knew what to do with or how to treat. and society being anxious to have a place to sweep them up and stow them away, well, not knowing what else to do with them, the hospital for these unsettled, mentally unwell people was built on the island, along with the church and the housing for the workers. The island became a kind of keep for the people that no one really wanted. I don't know if you happen to be aware or not, but there has long been a kind of lore that surrounds people who are said to be not quite of sound mind. It is thought that it is the nature of their state of mind that makes them more in tune with reality, or perhaps an alternative reality. They often hear voices that others cannot hear. They report seeing things that others cannot see. Some say they are peculiar, of course. Others say they are gifted. That's the spooky conundrum that would be the most terrible mix-up of all, wouldn't it? If their supposed illness gave them the ability that our supposed wellness denies us, the ability to see and hear the spirits of the dead. In any case, dear guests, soon after the newly constructed hospital for the insane was opened on Poveglia in 1922, its resident patients, who generally behaved a little out of the ordinary to begin with, reportedly began complaining of seeing ghosts. They said they saw figures in their rooms fade into their walls, and heard them wail as they stood at their windows at night, as though they may have been burned alive. You know, some of these patients weren't really clinically insane at all. There was nothing actually mentally too wrong with them. Some of them were just destitute or elderly. Some patients talked of seeing the blackened faces of plague victims in their dreams, or thought they could hear them breathing next to them in their beds as they slept. They smell like death. The doctors, of course, dismissed all of this as further evidence of their deepening symptoms of psychosis, likely now being exacerbated by the introduction of the element of seclusion of their new environment. And began experimenting on some of their patients under the guise of treating their patients. It is believed that some of the patients may have been tortured, because due to the seclusion of the island, there was no one to oversee how the patients were being treated in any way. It is known that several of them were lobotomized and had experimental brain surgeries performed on them. The manner of the cleanliness, care, anesthetics, or lack thereof during these surgeries is lost to history. There are no notes. What is known is that one of the more cruel doctors was either driven mad by his patients, or perhaps the guilt of what he had done to them. And some have speculated that he, too, finally joined the ranks of his patients and could hear and see the ghosts of the dead plague victims, or his own dead patients. And he went mad and threw himself off the bell tower of the insane asylum. Some say he was pushed by angry patients. Some have said he was chased by ghosts. I don't know about that, but he survived the fall and was said to then have been choked upon the ground by a rising mist that then smothered the life out of him. Then, only a little while later, his patients reported seeing his ghost roaming the halls. This now famous bell tower and its rather attractive brick building is one of the few buildings that is most visible from the mainland and is still thought to be relatively structurally sound. It's had many incarnations going back to the 12th century and served as a lighthouse at one point. It, too, is haunted. The bell, having been removed long ago, was disturbing the patients, who could still hear it ringing after its removal. And people claim to hear it ringing, even today. Every other building or parts of buildings on the island are crumbling, rotting, and dangerous. There's nothing worth saving or having, no matter what anyone else might try to entice you with. There have been deals and rumors of real estate deals that have come close and fallen through for Poveglia over the years. Investment groups seeking to turn the place into some sort of private party town or wedding venue, trying to make money while dancing over the forgotten dead, if you can believe that. We believe this would be a grave mistake, as even with our gallows humor, we ultimately believe the dead, especially those who have died the most terrible or suffering lonely deaths, should be respected and revered, left to rest in peace, undisturbed in the earth in which they lie. So, what if the fate of Poveglia was in your hands, Ms. Merrick? How would you protect it? Ah, you are so good to ask, my lovelies. Well, if our League of Lady Gravediggers were permitted there, or we could somehow magically transport them there, they would most certainly lovingly tend to reconsecrating any tiny bit of exposed piece of bone they might spy for sure, as that is their passion. But I would first cast a protective, loving, restful death spell, prayer, over the island that would cause all currents to counterwhirl any boats trying to approach the island away forever and ever. No living human foot would ever strike its shore ever again. Then I would send my crows with mouthfuls of wildflower seeds of every kind that would grow there, so that the bees would come and restore their populations, and hope that these creatures would be welcome company to the souls of the resting dead, and any and all restless spirits could at least wander and roam and haunt the island in peace. Now, if you happen to pass away while you're here on the grounds of the Midnight Library, well, I like to think we'll take relatively just about the same good care of you, too. More or less, probably. Please follow Mr. Darling as he leads you safely out to collect your now dry coats from the cloakroom. No getting there first, and leaving wearing a better coat than you arrived with, please. We're well aware of that old trick, by the way. Let's everyone be nice to your fellow villagers, please. Oh, and if you notice, as you walk past Peril Pond, that it has a little island that sometimes becomes visible through the mist on some nights like these. Well, there are several little paddle boats around the edge of the pond, And it is not forbidden. If you want to paddle out to that little island after hearing about this one, well, feel free. Just go on out there and see what happens. We don't care. I mean, we don't mind. Good night, my dear guests. Good night.
Madam, how did we provide the boats around Pedal Pond so quickly with which to entice our guests?
Oh, I hired Stefan to build and paint them. You know how accommodating he is. He and his goblins even delivered the boats out there.
Well, it looks enchanting for sure. But I think you should thank your lucky stars. The guests didn't ask the name of our island.
What, Hungry Ghost Island? Perhaps it could use some rebranding. The Midnight Library would like to thank everyone at Astonishing Legends. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. We are here because of our beautiful patrons who donate at patreon.com/midnightlibrary. That's where all the real fun happens. Find our weird presence on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And our even weirder merch at redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.